Lynn Kunzman, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Oh, it's good to be here.
So we talked last month about the fact that for most of our region, Mother's Day is the good time to get stuff into the ground. And I was dutiful about getting stuff in within a week of that.
That's good.
But the fact is, this does not mean a window has closed. There's lots of stuff you can still put in the ground well into the month of June, I would think.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Even late starts of tomatoes and peppers and those kinds of things. But lots of stuff you can direct seed. So, you can keep planting beans every, especially bush beans, every couple of weeks. Corn, the same thing through July. You know, every couple of weeks, plant some more. Cucumbers, dill, lettuce. If it's a hot season lettuce, it will stand the heat once we get the heat. Parsnips. Melons and pumpkins and those kinds of things can go in by seed even now. So, yeah, lots of stuff that can still go in.
Okay. When you mention a couple of weeks for these things, is this just so you have rotation so it doesn't all come out at once?
Well, right. I mean, generally when people are planting corn, they want to harvest, what's ripe, process that or eat it, and then two weeks later you have more. So it's a way of keeping an ongoing crop, even things like bush beans. The plants start to kind of get decadent after they've had a few pickings. And so to have a new crop coming on every 2 weeks is a nice deal.
Decadent?
Yeah. Decadent, yes. Decadent.
Makes sense.
Yes.
So the plants are getting hedonistic or something?
They start getting funky and dried out, and they don't want to produce anymore. You know, they've tried their best to make babies, and you keep thwarting them by picking their children,
right.
And then they just go, forget it, and they're done. So
oh, wow.
you need to keep a new, cadre of them marching on to give you an ongoing crop. Yeah.
Okay. So in addition to the rotations and figuring out, put more stuff in the ground as the summer goes on, but
yeah.
How patient should you be if stuff just isn't coming up? I put my stuff in the ground and set up my watering fort, put it on the timers and everything, and came back after a 9-day trip and thought I'd see stuff about a foot high, and it wasn't like that at all.
Where is everything? Yeah. And we haven't had really hot temperatures, and so the soil is not as warm as I would normally think it should be this time of year. So, and things just kind of sit there. I know my pole beans didn't want to come up. They're just now, it's been like a couple weeks, and finally they're starting to show, so that can happen. But also, it's always possible that things have started to come up and the earwigs and slugs have mowed them down, So you want to check. You can always kind of pull a little bit of this. If you know where your row of seeds is, you can pull the soil aside and see if the seeds are still in place and if they're starting to look like they're germinating, and tuck them back, cover them back up. But yeah, it's good to kind of monitor where you've planted stuff. I had to go back and replant some cucumbers because I wasn't seeing the cucumbers coming up where I had planted them. So it happens all the time, so you just want to know, yeah, I planted these things a couple weeks ago. They should be up by now, and maybe I'll go back in and replant.
That was exactly the plant I was dealing with, too, was the cucumbers just didn't seem to be doing what they should be doing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just really weird, and it's different every year. Sometimes it's the melons that don't come up. Sometimes it's, so the squash in particular want really warm soil.
Mm-hmm.
And so with the kind of cooler weather that we're having now, or, they're not doing their thing.
That was the other thing I was going to talk about. Yeah, the squash was the other one that I was waiting on, too. Okay.
Yeah, the curcubits, they really want the soil warm. It's why we tell people to plant them in mounds, right? So you can get something up high in the sun that will warm quickly and encourage them to pop up. But even that sometimes isn't enough. So, yeah.
This is Garden for Life on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley with Lynn Kunzman of Jackson County Master Gardeners and former Master Gardener of the Year statewide in Oregon. You segued very well into my discussion about my questions about, what happens if your stuff isn't showing up, because the next thing was about bugs. And that was part of your answer, was that, bugs can make hay with your stuff pretty soon after it starts emerging.
Right. Or, I've even, they'll come through and mow stuff down and you won't realize it. You know, you go out a couple of days later and you don't realize they've even popped up and have been eaten off at the ground level. So it's really wise to monitor daily. And I, in my garden, because there are so many slugs and earwigs, I use Sluggo Plus and put it down when I plant seeds, and then I reapply it regularly until I see the little seedlings coming up. And even then, I give it more so that they can't take the little seedlings down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're like foresters in my garden, chopping the trees down. They're just awful. Yeah, they're really bad.
And what's in Sluggo Plus?
You know, I think there's, I would have to look at the ingredients list, but I think there might be spinosad in that. Mm-hmm. Because it takes out the earwigs too. Sluggo itself just takes out the slugs. Uh-huh. And I think that may be a copper thing, but again, I'd have to look at the label and
I was just curious about its
what's in there.
Earth friendliness. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not, it doesn't bother pets. It doesn't, and it doesn't dissolve in the rain when, you know, we have a rainstorm. Right. So it's pretty, it stays for a while and then just sort of vanishes into the garden. That's my preference for dealing with, the loss of new seedlings. I've got to keep the, I don't want to just go out there and spray willy-nilly,
right.
You know, and put a bunch of, a lot of awful poisons around. So, yeah.
Well, and that leads to the next question then. I mean, at what point do we freak out and start taking the anti-bug measures? I mean, if you're starting to see, if they're mowing your stuff down, you want to take action then.
Yeah. You know, I draw the line with slugs and snails, and sometimes I have been known to spray neem oil on squash bugs. Mm-hmm. because they're horrifying, and I do that very, very early in the morning before bees are flying, to avoid, you know, hitting the bees, and you want to either do it after sunset or before sunrise.
Oh, wow.
If you're spraying some kind of thing that could be toxic to bees, you want to make sure that you're doing it at the time of day when the bees are not in the air and visiting the plants. So,
okay,
yeah.
And this is where we point out once again that you're really trying to be kind to living things other than the ones you don't want to live anymore.
So
read the directions really carefully.
Really carefully, always follow the label instructions. It's so important. Because if people are really going to the aisle in the store with all the poisons, you just so desperately need to follow those instructions accurately. Otherwise, you're putting, you know, yourself and your pets at risk as well if you're not following the label instructions.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of, you know, like the mosquito sprayers that come around your neighborhood, they say, oh, it's natural, it's organic, it's, you know, it only kills mosquitoes. No, it kills everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter if it's organic and natural. Nicotine is organic and natural. it will kill things. And so cyanide is organic and natural.
Oh, yes, of course. Arsenic, right? We can go down
arsenic. Many things are organic and natural, and they do great harm. So that's not something to play around with. Make sure you're following the instructions and target specifically the plants and insects that you are after. Don't just do broad spectrum spraying around your yard. That's a really dangerous thing to do.
Yeah, and mind the weather conditions. You know, if there's a breeze, if there's a good stiff breeze, don't let that stuff drift off. It's going to leave your yard.
Yeah, and again, early in the morning is the best time for that because by afternoon and evening, the winds have picked up and it will move stuff all over, you know, your yard, the neighborhood, whatever. So early in the morning before the winds start is the best time to do those kinds of applications if you are choosing to do them.
Garden for Life here on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley with Lynn Kunzman from Jackson County Master Gardeners. We've been doing this segment for a couple of years now, and you can give us your input. Send an email to jx@jeffnet.org if there's things you'd like us to discuss in future segments. Lynn, we're talking about, you know, the whole issue with trying to deal with the seasons, and, you know, when it's not as warm as early as you think it would be, or too warm too early, that kind of thing. In general, though, I mean, have you noticed over your years of gardening that there's a climate change aspect of things? There are things that you didn't used to have to do that you do now.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I remember when I first moved to the Valley here in 1986, you know, spring came and, you know, April was warm, maybe in the 70s. May was kind of in the 80s. And then you moved into June and July and you got into those 90 degree temperatures, you know. But now we had 80 degree temperatures in March this year, you know, and everybody ran out and planted all their tomatoes and stuff. And then they had to go back and rebuy those because, of course, then we had a big hard freeze.
Yep.
Because, you know, the way the jet stream is moving now, we can't count on weather patterns to be gradual the way they were. They are going to be fluctuating and probably fluctuating all season long. I see these cooler weather patterns going later into June now and, you know, into early summer than I ever did in the past, you know, 20 years ago or even 10 years ago. So, we're seeing a lot of cooler weather going into summer, which causes the ground not to warm up. And then we have that flip where things turn hot and we have hotter temperatures than we've ever had before in July and August. You know, those over 100 degree days, mm-hmm, for 30 days in a row, at which point the vegetables kind of go, yeah, no, we're not, stop already. We like sun, but not this.
Yeah, and they won't set fruit, and they'll just be kind of dormant
they don't
for
set
a while.
Fruit, right,
yeah.
they won't set fruit. I mean, they just sort of stop and wait for things to cool down. So some of the things people can do are, you know, put shade cloth over some of those areas where maybe plants are starting to scorch out or, you know, having trouble with the excessive heat. I know my roommate went to the Goodwill and bought lace curtains, and uh-huh, she's been covering her lettuces with the lace curtains.
Oh, really?
To help with protection from not only from frost a while back, but now the really hot days, uh-huh, when things like lettuce want to bolt in this, you know, in the bright hot sun.
Oh, sure.
So, you know,
but,
well, old sheets, shade cloth, whatever you've got around, you can use if you keep it up off the plants, just as a temporary little shade, mm-hmm, for some of the things that are maybe struggling in the excessive heat and sun.
Well, whatever works. Yeah.
So about
2 minutes left here. I want to ask a little bit about watering. I know we've talked in the past about being careful not to do watering during the day because, you know, little drops on the leaves can actually act like little lenses, magnifying glasses. So what is the best time to water a garden in the day?
Well, either I do mine early in the morning, like 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. And I actually overhead water my vegetable garden because it's just too hard to lay drip irrigation in it because it changes every season. But, you know, so that's like a summer rain happening in the garden. And then it has the daytime to kind of dry out, you know, to keep the slugs and snails off of it overnight. And then in the morning at 5 the next morning, the sprinklers turn on and things get watered. And that seems to work very well in my garden. So I would say watering in the morning is your best option. But if, you know, you find during a 100 plus degree day that things are looking peaked, water again in the evening after the sun has gone down.
After the sun's gone down. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then about how much? I tend to run my stuff for about, 20 minutes.
Well, and it depends on the rate of flow. And so I can't really speak to a particular time. What I do is I watch the plants. If they're getting stressed with only 12 minutes of watering or 15, I bump it up, right, until I see that the plants are pretty evenly making it through each day without a lot of wilting and stress and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So again, watch your plants.
They're telling you what they need. Right.
Yeah.
Always the advice, watch your plants. Garden for Life is monthly here on the Jefferson Exchange with Lynn Kunzman from Jackson County Master Gardeners. Lynn, thanks so much for joining us once again.
Hey, thanks so much.
And thanks for listening.